Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to 2024 and the Coast to Coast Combat Hour. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ed Carbajal. Ed, Happy New Year, brother.
Happy New Year, everybody. Real quick, before we get the podcast going, I just want to plug, while we were off, I did a really quick, it's my very first review of a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu gi. It's on this YouTube channel. I got to put the link in the description, but the link will be in the description. If you haven't seen it yet and you're, one of your New Year's resolutions is to start Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I found a really nice starter gi from the folks at Elite Sports. They sent me a gi. If you remember back in August, I held it up on one of the podcast episodes. So I finally did the review, and that's up on the YouTube channel now. So check it out. There's a link for you to pick it up and everything. And again, the link for the review will be in the description of everywhere this podcast goes.
Awesome. So we had the last event of 2023, the Ryzen Fighting Championships or Fighting Federation 45. Mm-hmm. What'd you think? How much of it did you catch? How did you do it? How'd your New Year's
go? So last year, if you guys remember, I you know, because they did the whole thing with Bellator, I was able to get a stream and do the results and stuff for my MMA news. And obviously, you know, whether or not Ryzen does any co-promotion remains to be seen with what happened with Bellator. But so I couldn't sleep. And I woke up like, it was like 4:30 a.m. And their prelims, 4:30 a.m. my time, Eastern, their prelims had just finished. I was like, let me get, you know, I couldn't go back to sleep. So I'm going through my phone. I'm like, let me see who's winning in Japan. And I saw that they were doing an intermission. And I'm trying to fall asleep and I can't. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to order this pay-per-view. So I ordered it through Fight TV and I wound up, when they came back from their intermission, I got to catch the entire main card, which was really, really fun. I'm telling you, man, and I was telling the folks I trained with, they know how to put a show over there in Japan, especially on New Year's Eve. That event was, I didn't know about the, you know, what happened with Juan Archuleta until obviously when I woke up that night, like with the him being stripped of the title, him being ill. And then not being able to make weight. And then they did a catch weight bout. You know, there were so many things against him that, you know, obviously he's no longer the Ryzen title holder. And he wouldn't have been able to win. There's too many things against him. But
but he did fight. That's an important note, I think, that mm-hmm. he went into that fight knowing that it was a no-win situation for him. Mm-hmm. I think the best he could have got was a no contest, barring maybe a crook knockout or something. They might have flexed the rules a little bit, but if that mm-hmm. fight goes to a decision in any way, I think it's probably, even if he wins, it's going to be a no contest. So yeah. Props to Archuleta. You know, I obviously missing weight, something that we don't praise here because it sucks, part of the sport. But I don't know if it's the right word, but just to gut up and go to the ring and give the fans what they wanted to see. Mm-hmm. Give the people that bought the pay-per-views, like you bought the pay-per-view not knowing it. I paid for the pay-per-view the night before. I paid the pay-per-view like hours before it started. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't watch it that night. I just waited till the next day. I had some company come over and I put it on about 4 o'clock my time and just kind of ran it and watched it, you know, throughout the evening.
Yeah, it's funny you're saying that because like me buying it with it, only jumping into the main card, I watched the main card as it happened, and then which was something about live sports. Everyone knows this. It's just different. And then like New Year's Eve, you know, kind of, I didn't have much planned, so I actually ran the rest of the card. You know, I've been watching it in pieces. I haven't finished it yet, but up to the point where I actually started it live. But yeah, man, it's a good time. It was fun, but.
Watching it live is special, though. That's the way to do it. I did notice, you know, waiting to, you know, 12 hours to watch it, avoiding social media and stuff. It doesn't have the same. Now, you see, your timing's a little bit better because you could actually get a decent night's sleep in theory, wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning and get to watch it. To grind it out from 10 p.m. until about 7 a.m. the next day, it's rough, and I have done it dozens of times, but
probably I'm not gonna lie, my New Year's Eve, I was like an old man on New Year's Eve, like
it takes it out of you.
I didn't do anything. I was still tired, and like I literally, the ball, you know, East Coast time, the ball drops with Dick Clark's New Year's Eve thing, And I was like, I was actually passing out, and my mom called me to wish me Happy New Year. And I was like, oh yeah, Happy New Year. And then I was literally out.
Yeah. So a couple of fights of note on the card. Ogakubo handles John Dodson. I didn't see that coming. I thought Ogakubo's a very good, accomplished fighter, has fought very good people. Notably, he's fought Horiguchi 3 times. But I didn't see that with Dodson. I thought Dodson was on one of those runs we were going to kind of see, like a kind of a Nick Diaz kind of run outside of the UFC where he kind of established himself. Now, he's still got BKFC. I don't know if he's a champ over there, if he's got a title fight coming up. But, you know, I was surprised by that result. I think you were probably the same in that one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually one of the ones I haven't gotten to yet, but obviously knowing the results.
Okay.
Well. I can't like speak on it like, to that capacity, but I mean, you know, I did have the same hopes for him, like you said.
Yeah. No, I mean, he just, Ogakubo looked great and then controlled the fight, which was, you'll see when you watch it, but it was Dodson maybe didn't have something. He seemed a little off, but,
Joseph Correa, yo, Happy New Year, sir.
Happy New Year, my man. You know, and then the Kai Asakura, obviously the finish of Juan Archuleta, like we mentioned all of Archuleta's issues going into the fight, but
yeah.
You know, Asakura's a killer, man. He's one of those guys that, you know, he's fun to watch.
Not for nothing though. Archuleta, I was proud of him in the first round. I thought he might pull something off, but I mean, I don't know the specifics of the illness. It's weird with the English broadcast and then trying to wait for the translation. There's kind of like this weird delay too, but watching the replay of the finish, you know, that knee to the midsection of Archuleta. I mean, I'm wondering if the illness that he had was like stomach related or whatever, then you could see him really like that knee to the midsection hurt him, and that led to the finish. And I was just like, man, he must have been spent. I mean, again, like you said about the Craig giving him credit, he didn't have to do that. But if you've been watching Archuleta since they did the co-promotion with Bellator, he's got such a love for the Japanese MMA fan and just the way the sport is handled over there. It makes you, like you said, you just feel bad for him.
Yeah, hopefully there's not any kinds of repercussions as far as his standing with them and stuff. I know, you know, Japanese don't mess around with a lot of that. You don't hear about a lot of, you know, it's not like, you know, I'm sure that they have their weight cut misses. I know they do, but it seems like it's way more prevalent here. Maybe a lot of it gets hidden up out there, but I don't think, it doesn't help his standing, but let's hope that, it doesn't hurt him and they bring him back in the future for that. Main event, Koji Horiguchi looks outstanding, finishes with a rear naked choke over, Makoto Shinryu. I mean, nice to see, you know, Horiguchi in his natural weight class.
Yeah.
Getting the finish.
He was begging for a flyweight weight class for it to, when Coker was still running belt where he wanted, because he wanted to get back his. I feel like Horiguchi is getting, like, he doesn't get enough respect for having been a two promotion champ at the same time. And then now he's the inaugural Rising flyweight champion. I mean, talk about, if anybody had the best New Year's Eve ever, it was him. I mean, he wins an inaugural title and then gets to propose to his girlfriend on New Year's Eve in the Saitama Super Arena in front of a whole crowd. And it's just like, I mean, so from some guy, a guy that went to when COVID started, you know, blew out his knee and couldn't fight for a year. Now here we are after all the bullshit happened with COVID and everything else and all the promotions, and here he is now, champion, wife, like, he's got it made.
Yeah, no, and you mentioned in front of a live crowd before we started recording. I wanted to check that out. So Bruno Masami, who's on Twitter, does a lot of the Japanese stuff. Official tickets sold for this event, 23,103. To put that in perspective, that's about 4,000, 3,000 more than I believe the UFC is doing at T-Mobile. So it's you're not getting that crowd anywhere really. Well, you're not, you know, obviously Poland and other countries have their events and they get together and stuff. But for 23,000 people in Saitama, I mean, it's not Pride 70,000 and 92,000 or whatever it was. But yeah. it is. I mean, you got to be happy with that. If you told me that they were going to do 23,000 sold tickets, it's got to be a great night. I mean, the crowd looked packed there. And it's one of those things, man. We talk about more the better, and let's just hope that this they continue to build off of this, and perhaps the weakening of Bellator's can help strengthen them a little bit. If once all these guys get settled out, we figure out where these fighters are going and who's going to fight who and everything.
I wouldn't be mad at all if a lot of these the top Bellator prospects, the ranked fighters, you know, we still don't know what the PFL. How they're handling it or whatever. I mean, we're seeing different things. Like today I saw Cyborg say that she accepted an offer to fight Kayla, but Kayla turned it down. Cyborg shared this on Twitter earlier today, and I reposted it. So I don't know what the details of that are, but who knows how. Usually PFL doesn't get their season going until like April, May. So, but if you own this other property and you're going to do things with this other property, you know, maybe like, I don't know how long it takes to restart everything. Because it kind of just happened, and it's going to obviously maybe it takes more than a month. But I know Don Davis did an interview with Forbes where maybe we'll get some more details when that interview comes out. But I'm just kind of like, you know, I wouldn't mind at all if we saw some of the other top guys from Bellator, Aaron Jeffrey, Johnny Evelyn, that fight needs to happen if they're not going to put it on. You know, Sakakibara, you know, give him a fight and, you know, let them fight for something. One of the trophies that you hand out, because they always hand out trophies and shit, you know, even if it's not a title fight. So it just needs to happen.
No, I agree. I think they got to figure out what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. You got too much talent. You got the guys you mentioned. You got the Nemkovs of the world. You know, you got a bunch of these guys who deserve to, you know, not have their prime wasted in a money situation right now. I mean,
Yeah, really quick, because I mean, I almost forgot about it. Thank God Joseph chimed in here with the Happy New Year, because, you know, Front Proof Media, he shoots a lot of boxing. They announced during the Ryzen event, they had Manny Pacquiao there and saying him and Floyd Mayweather are going to do a boxing match in 2024 with Ryzen. Now, when it comes to boxing and anything involving Floyd Mayweather, I'm of opinion that until we hear Mayweather say, yes, this is happening as well, we can say it's really happening. I haven't heard much about it ever outside of that. No press release from Ryzen or anything confirming a day or a time or anything like that. But, you know, Mayweather's worked with Ryzen in the past. So I don't doubt it. But again, until Mayweather also says, yes, this is happening as an exhibition or however it's happening, I don't know if we should get excited about that yet.
Pacquiao was even hesitant to say the name Mayweather. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that or not, but yeah. And I was getting heavy, like Bob Sapp, Mike Tyson, you know, you know, same kind of thing. And that was a K1. And I think even Pride, they had talked about that. But if they were going to do it to me, why wouldn't you just do a mixed martial arts fight between the two of you? Like, don't you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to do it, why not put the small gloves on, add some grappling? Sure, it's going to look like a shit show. Mm. But if you're going to do, I mean, to me, that's, you know, like, that would make more sense than a boxing match there, you know, between those two guys. One, we've already seen the boxing match, and it was boring when they were old for boxing. Now they're old for the world, you know? And I don't know if that makes a lot of sense. Will people in Japan go crazy? Sure. Will it sell a bunch of pay-per-views here in the U.S.? I don't think so. I don't think so. So, but maybe it doesn't have to. Mayweather gets rich.
No, yeah.
You know, but yeah, like I said, that seemed a little far-fetched to me. It's not the first time we've seen Pacquiao, I feel like, in that ring saying he was going to do something, whether it was boxing, Gomi, or, you know, whatever else we had going on.
If it does happen, it's going to be boxing, because that's one thing Mayweather's been adamant about, is like, he's, whatever he does, it's going to be boxing, you know?
And it's gonna be on his terms.
So
against other MMA fighters, that makes sense to me. But against Pacquiao, it's like, what do you got to lose at that point? What's Pacquiao gonna hit you with a head kick? Like, let's have some fun. Like, I don't know.
They're old. They're old. I don't think they want to learn new.
No, but I think that might sell. I think that might sell.
I think so too, but I agree with that 100%.
We were gonna have, you know, I mean, so again, this is not gonna happen. That can be my odd circus wish for 2024. But speaking of 2024, one of the things we kind of discussed that we were going to talk about, and I know some other sites have done this or podcasts have done this, but we got current champs in the UFC. Basically, the UFC is the only organization we can really speak on right now other than Ryzen, but you know, the UFC is the main front and center here in the US and pretty much worldwide. So their champs are kind of recognized. And plus, you know, everybody that we're that's listening to this show is likely to know the names that we're going to talk about. So we're going to go through the divisions. We didn't do a ton of prep for this, so we're just going to kind of freestyle it a little bit and just kind of talk our way through and see who we think ends up the champions of each division by January 1st, 2025. So let's just start in the flyweight division. Current champ, Alexandra Pantoja, coming off a win over Brandon Moreno. Next fight's not currently scheduled. I'm not sure. I don't see anybody in that rankings that's going to threaten him right now. Brandon Moreno would be the only one, but I think Pantoja might have his number. I'm going to say Pantoja defends the title again, maybe fight week, or, you know, maybe soon, maybe March, April-ish, you know, maybe June, and then come back in September for the Noche card, if they're going to try to do that at the fight thing would be.
I don't know how, I mean, just talking about looking ahead at 2024 with all the news that came out over the weekend, you know, with Conor coming back and Michael Chandler doing their 185 thing, if that's even going to happen, whenever that happens, or it's supposed to, what did Conor say, International Fight Week? We'll see. When they walk in the cage and close the door behind them, that's when I believe it's happening, especially when it comes to International Fight Week and anything related to big names. But I feel like because of that first quarter, especially with UFC 300 and all these events in between, International Fight Week, I feel like they're spreading themselves a little thin with their names. Like it's hard to figure out matchups and stuff this early in the year.
It is. But I mean, I think you got the thing is, when you look at like with Pantoja, like, so he just beat Royval, who's they got a three, you got Alabazi, you got Moreno, who he just beat within the last year. You know, maybe Cop makes a, you know,
I wouldn't mind that.
You know, yeah, I think, I don't see him beating Moreno or Pantoja. Like, I just think stylistically, like those guys would be bad styles for him. So, you know, I mean, if I was matchmaking, like I said, I'd try to do Pantoja like in June and then September have him fight Brandon Moreno on Mexican Independence Day, you know, and if that
happens. That sphere card.
The sphere card. And then, you know, but I think Pantoja probably goes the year as the champion. What I saw with Royval, I have no reason to believe that there's really anybody that's going to threaten him heavily, you know, so the 125, the flyweights, the bantamweight, you got Sean O'Malley, whose next fight is scheduled is against number 6, Marlon Vera. Vera, who owns a win over O'Malley in a bout where O'Malley was injured, but, you know, we've also seen him lose to or beat people that were injured and chaotic. Mm-hmm. So, in this division, you know, we got Cejudo and Dashvili at 298. I really think the winner of that fight, can beat Sean O'Malley. I don't know where Sterling's going to fall in this mix. I know he's moving up in weight, so he's kind of getting out of the way, which makes it a little easier. I think you got a clear-cut number one contender fight now with Dashvili and Cejudo. So I'm going to say Dashvili beats Cejudo by just relentless takedown attempts. That even an Olympian's going to have a hard time keeping up with. And then I think Dashvili beats Sean O'Malley. I think by next year, Dashvili's the champion. I don't know how popular of a champion he'll be. But I think his stylistically, I think he really has a chance to grapple his way to the world championship, especially with the champion that's there. If he had to fight Sterling, to me, it would be a much, much tougher matchup because even the Cejudo matchups, I think is tougher for him than the O'Malley one will be.
Yeah. And well, I do agree with you. Because I like the Dashvili. I think he's got the durability and the focus and the drive to be a champion. I mean, you know, O'Malley seems to surprise people a lot because he distracts people with the hair and the funny social media posts. He distracts folks, kind of similar to the way Covington did when he was still kind of like, you know, younger and hungry, that he's actually a good martial artist. And I forgot that when he fought Sterling, because like, I mean, I'm team Matt Sarah guys all the way, which is kind of why I want Dvashvili to win. But like anybody from that camp, I'm always going to cheer for them. But you know, I forgot when he fought Sterling how cerebral he can be with his training and his striking, and you know, I always bring up his Fight Pass Invitational grappling matches when I was impressed with his grappling. So I'm just kind of like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's still champion. And then you got to remember UFC shenanigans with them, you know, keeping their guys where they want their guys. So, but yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I'd like to see Merab, you know, get that belt by the end of 24.
I think it'll be harder to pull the UFC stuff in that division after this Vera mm-hmm. fight, because your top mm-hmm. three people in theory are all people. I know he just beat Sterling, but if they mm-hmm. were to rematch tomorrow, I think Sterling, you know, still has the tools to win that fight by perhaps, you know, using O'Malley's small weaknesses against him. Mm-hmm. Moving on to featherweight, 145, champion Alexander Volkanovski, coming off two losses in a row at 155, faces Topuria at UFC 298 again in February out in Anaheim. This is the toughest one for me because
yeah.
I look at the division and I'm like, you know, who's the champion out of this one? And I think Topuria is just I think he's still kind of the unknown. I know he's 14-0. I know he's had some big wins. I know he's had some violent wins. I know he's, you know, but you know, one of those big wins was over Bryce Mitchell, and we just saw what Josh Emmett did to him, you know? The most realistic thing on that thing seems to me Alexander Volkanovski defends his title. And you know, the only thing that would pull it back is if he gets greedy and maybe tries to fight like four times in a year, maybe mm-hmm. eventually it catches up to him. But if he fights if he fights February and then fights, you know, September-ish and then doesn't fight again until the end of the year, I think Volkanovski, you know, I'm afraid we're going to look at another fight with Max Holloway down the line. But we're also hearing Holloway Gagey rumors too, which could be bad for the health of Max Holloway.
Max Holloway shouldn't do that. No,
no, I don't think so either. I hope that's not one of the things they try to throw together. But I think the Topuria Volkanovski winner will have the title at the end of the year, and I think Volkanovski is gonna pull off the victory over, you know, a little bit of a green fighter still.
Just because of watching him talk about like his need to fight and stuff when he picked up that last loss, taking that fight in such short notice, I'm wondering if he's flying a little too close to the sun with his training and accepting of the fights and his body. You know, don't forget the guy played rugby before he did MMA. So I as much as I like him and I'd like him to still be there, I feel like the wear and tear of just being an adult pro athlete may be catching up with him, and he doesn't seem like somebody that listens to his body. Who knows? I mean, the UFCPI does some pretty amazing things when it comes to the research and stuff they do to keep their guys healthy. So just from what I've heard from talking to the new fighters that have gotten in there, like Trevor Peak and all those guys. So I hope he's still there. I just... the stuff he's done already has me concerned for him.
Gotcha. Moving on to lightweight, 155. I don't know if you want to take this one first. Islam
Makhachev. No, you go ahead.
I kind of feel like where you're going to go with this. I don't think anybody beats Islam. I kind of said that last year. I think we have a bit of another Habib situation on our hand. And he's beaten the guys that are on the list. He's beaten, well, I guess he hasn't beaten all of them. He's got Gagey and Poirier eventually. You know, he's got some names on the list to fight. So you can, there's some guys, I just don't think from what I've seen from him, he just won by, you know, head kick. I don't see him losing.
Yeah, but you know, it was, I just talked about, you know, the way that fight got together and stuff like that. He won by head kick against Volkanovski, who took the fight on because of whatever happened.
You're right. But I didn't expect him to win by head kick. I didn't even know he could kick somebody in the head.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Justin Gaethje's still there. He's still the guy that I see as he has to get the UFC title officially, not no BMF bullshit or, you know, none of that, like the actual title. I'd like to see him. I mean, if he gets that after, you know, leaving World Series of Fighting as a champion, Justin Gaethje's probably one of the greatest lightweights that are currently out there active, in my opinion. But I'm biased, obviously, because I've been following the guy's career forever, and I know he's been wanting to fight Makhachev for quite some time. Everybody's seen that photo where he's sitting next to him at the Dominance Management media thing that they put together a couple of years ago, where he's literally sitting next to him, like sizing him up, and it's gonna be a fun fight to see. But I want Gaethje this year to get the title, however it happens. That's what I want.
I mean, it seems like if he picks up a win early in the year, you know, where they put him on the 300 card, realistically, Makhachev's next two opponents are going to be Oliveira and Gaethje. I mean, especially if it's not Oliveira. I mean, it could either, and they might be the immediate shot coming up. Mm-hmm. Like you said, a lot of these fights haven't been scheduled yet. So, which points out, why is it so hard to fill some of these cards? Why is 300 floating in the air right now? You know, and we're hearing,
because they want to come. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Right now, the room, we're hearing rumors 300 looks like the champ at welterweight, Leon Edwards against Bilal Muhammad, which, if that's the headliner, no disrespect to either fighter, but it will not sell. It'll sell because it's got a UFC logo on it, but nobody's going to be talking about wanting to go see Muhammad versus Edwards. I mean, you better have a hell. I don't know.
I feel like they know that, though, because, I mean, especially the way Dana's been talking about it. I mean, I know anything he announces, he talks about it like it's the best thing ever anyway. But I think he seems very well aware that he has to come correct with these marquee event cards, like 200 and 300. You know, he wants to at least have the same energy. So I don't know, man. I agree with you. And I think they know that, but you never know. I mean, they're also in a position now that they'll can put me versus you at UFC 300, and they'll make it sound like it's the best.
Yeah, fucking thing. I mean, even as a co-main event, that doesn't sound like that. That's telling me that the card is like, I don't know. But getting back to the topic on hand here, if that fight happens, I think Edwards wins, and then I think he eventually loses the title to Shavkat Rakhmonov by the end of the year. And unless Rakhmonov has to have some kind of crazy surgery that keeps him out for the whole year or some nonsense like that, that's who I think wins it. And boy, does that division look weak all of a sudden. I mean, I don't know. To me, it looks weak. You know, you need the Machado, Gary. You need, I hate to say this, but you need the MVP. You need the guys to come in here and heat that division up a little bit. Because, you know, Usman Edwards rematch four doesn't sound great. Muhammad one sounds like it sounds like, you know, Rakhmonov Burns. I mean, Covington and Thompson looked like they should probably both hang it up after their last performances. You know, and then you start, you know, you got some talent, some fun fighters to watch, and Luque and Gary and Neil, but, you know, I don't know. It doesn't seem like title fighters to me, like. And again, that's not disrespectful. They've been around for a while now, and you know, you're still at 10 or, you know, 9-10. So I think Rakhmonov is the one to go with there.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I think he's the one to eventually be the king there.
I agree with that.
Middleweight champ Sean Strickland's next fight is scheduled for a few weeks from now, on the 20th against number two, Driscus du Plessis. I think du Plessis wins this fight. I think Strickland's win was kind of a fluke. And I don't mean that, you know, a fluke. I don't, not a fluke in the sense that he's not like that level of a fighter, but I just don't, I think he's more of like a contender as opposed to the champion. I think he put on a masterful performance. I think he might just have, you know, maybe he has Adesanya's number, but I got to see
Adesanya was also, I think Adesanya, you know, there might have been a mental I don't know what to call it. I don't want to say anxiety over fighting so much and being champion and so high profile. You know, they put him on the cover of the game and all the stuff. Maybe it just I think that messed with Adesanya too. That the fight, you know, I was thinking about when Fedor lost to Fabricio Werdum. You know, he kind of like gave that little smile when it happened, and it was just like, it's like almost like, okay, you know, you've relieved me of this greatest of all time thing, because it can. I think that's what they call that, imposter syndrome or something like that. I think that can happen to some of these guys, especially when you're in a promotion that has a huge marketing machine like the UFC does. So, but to speak of, like you said, topic at hand, I don't know how, like, Duplessis is, he's a great fighter. I like watching him fight. But I don't know if I've seen him go against, somebody that's as rough as Strickland is, maybe. I don't know if that's the right word, the phrasing, but
maybe gritty. Kind of, you know. Yeah, I see what you're saying. And what you mentioned about the Adesanya fight, Adesanya was looking for an opponent for a while for that fight and kind of just settled with Strickland. So maybe he didn't take it like he was fighting Robert Whittaker or something like that. You know what I mean? So there's some possibility to that. Like I said, I do believe Duplessis wins this fight. Mm-hmm. If the knowing UFC matchmaking and some of the stuff you were talking earlier, I think the champion on January 1 is Khamzat Chimaev. I really do. I don't even know who he's going to. You got Costa, and I mean, I don't even know who he's going to fight. I don't even know if he has to fight anybody. They might just literally give him a title shot just because they want to. And they did with O'Malley, and O'Malley won and did it. So I just think until I see somebody like, well, I know he had a tough bout with Burns, but for the most part, Chimaev's been flawless victories. So I think he wrestles pretty much everybody. I think that he ends up the champ come next year.
I don't know. He seems to have issues getting booked. Issues with weight. I don't know if I'm confident with him being champ next year, but we'll see. You know,
it's a little bit of a wild card because he's down the rankings, but you know, we'll see what that. But like I said, I don't think there's a lot of guys ahead of him that are going to be jumping at a chance to fight him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So he might be a guy that has to jump 6-7 spots in the rankings in order to get that title fight, because the Robert Whittakers of the world are not going to waste their time with him. Mm-hmm. If I'm fighting him, it's for the title. I'm not going to lose a contender fight. So, light heavyweight Alex Bahia, coming off of his win over Jiří Procházka. Jamal Hill on the shelf right now. I don't know how much he'll be out for the whole what chunk of this year he's going to be out. So this is maybe one of the tougher ones. I'd love to throw a wild card in like Nemkov. I'd like to see, you know, like, hey, maybe, you know, maybe the UFC, maybe he just doesn't get his contract done and he's able to, being Team Fedor makes it hard to believe he's just going to go sign a big contract with the UFC. You know, he's another guy who could become in the mix here at some point if NFL can't get their stuff worked out. It's a tough division, man. This is the hot potato division of MMA over the last couple years.
I don't know why it's jumping out at me, but I wouldn't mind seeing at least him fight for the title. Khalil Roundtree, I'd like to see him main event or get a challenge for the title at least by the end of 24. I don't know if he's champion, but I'd like to see him challenge for it.
Well, he's got to beat somebody up in the top there.
I know. I'm just
oh, the no, name I, jump yeah, in. No, I get it. I mean, he's been on a nice run lately. He doesn't match up terribly. I mean, you would think that the striking of Bahia would be bad, but then you forget what he did to, the big kickboxer that they brought in. He, on Fight Week a couple years back and Roundtree knocked him out. I don't really know.
He's in Thailand right now training and striking. So,
I don't even know in that division. I don't think it's going to be Bahia. Let me put it that way. I'll take the field over Bahia to be the champion going into next year. I think Bahia is more of a fun fighter that's going to beat up a lot of guys, but it's going to, there's going to be moments where he's going to get caught or at some point somebody's going to wrestle him. I mean, I honestly,
that's what I was saying. Like there's obvious holes in his game. I mean, he's so good at what he does. He imposes a striking on almost everybody. But if he gets somebody that can find an answer to that, then, you know, then we'll see. But oh boy, here we go.
Men's heavyweight. current champ, John Jones. Interim champ, Tom Aspinall. I mean, if under the rule, the conversation right now, I think John Jones will be the champion come next year. He might retire, so maybe not. But I don't think he, if he sits out till November, fights Stipe, I think he walks through Stipe. And then he dodges everybody else, retires as champion. So maybe with that said, maybe Aspinall will be my heavyweight champion because Jones will retire and his interim belt will become the real belt.
Yeah.
The one name on there that scares me a little bit is Curtis Blaydes. I know he's walked into some punches and had some bad luck against some big punching fighters. But him and Jailton Almeida both stand out to me as guys who could potentially bring a wrestling, you know, and the wrestling and grappling can win you a title if you got guys that are a little bit, you know, like Gon, I'm pretty confident either of those guys take him down. After what we just saw him get, you know, choked out with like second day jiu-jitsu chokehold. You know, I'm not one to bash, you know, that kind of thing, but that was pretty kindergarten-esque to get, you know, walk into that guillotine. But yeah, so I'm going to say Aspinall will be the champ come next year, the official champ.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
You know, we should look at the women's real quick too. We got three divisions there too. Well, we got three now because there's no 45 anymore. Yeah. The strawweight, we'll start at the smaller weights here. We got Zhang Weili coming off of, you know, I don't know how it's going to unfold. I know Amanda Lemos is fighting Tatiana Suarez at UFC 298. I think Tatiana Suarez will end up being the champion by January 1st. If she doesn't get hurt, I think her wrestling is Khabib level for female MMA. And I think she's going to walk through Lemos. And I think she wins the championship easily.
Yeah,
I really do.
I don't know. I feel like Whaley can stick it out at least another year. So I'm not gonna see it. I feel like she's gonna be there for a little bit.
Alexa Grasso, women's flyweight. I think I see a name on here that's probably gonna jump out to you a bit. obviously, Erin Blanchfield is a top contender here. Mm-hmm. She got a big fight coming up. But I'm not done with Valentina Shevchenko. And I love Alexa Grasso, but I'm not sold on her being champ. And I know that sounds crappy, but like, I'm just not.
I have to say, I do get it.
Maybe it's because she seems kind of plain. You know what I mean? Like,
aside, I get it.
You know, I mean, she's obviously beautiful and all that other stuff, but she just seems kind of plain. I don't see killer, but obviously she is, you know? So, and Shevchenko is like the total opposite. I mean, she's got like a Glock tattooed on her. Like, you know what I mean? Like one of them.
Oh, that fight I think that fight needs to happen again.
Yeah, I think so. I think we need that trilogy fight. I thought Shevchenko won the second one. It became a draw. So I'm going to go with Shevchenko being the champion and then possibly, you know, and then having a couple good years of, between Fiorat, Blanchfield and Grasso, I think there's a good 2 years of fights that were, you know, I know some will be rematches, but I think there's some good contenders out there. I think that division can be fun to watch over the next year or two.
I agree 100%. And then,
women's bantamweight, we don't have a champion here currently. Raquel Pennington will be fighting Myra Buena Silva, for the title apparently on January 20th. This is one I'm going to go for just for a crazy wild card because I don't see anybody. I mean, I like Irene Aldana. I'm going to say Misha Tate. I know that sounds crazy. Just based off her last performance, I don't see anybody on there that I think she would be a huge underdog to. And I think the UFC will push her because of the name she has over You know, I mean, no disrespect to some of the, you know, Caitlin Vieira, but I think if it's headlining, you know, if it's Pennington versus, I think Pennington versus Tate 2 sells a lot better than Pennington versus Vieira. You know, it just does.
Yeah, and I got a fire lit under me about Misha Tate again after that last win, the way she performed, what she said afterwards. I'm just like, you know what? Yeah, I think you can do it again. Her belief in herself has spread on over to me, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? You got another run in you, and go get it.
I mean, I think they're like, I wouldn't mind seeing like her fight like Holly Holm in a rematch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe they do that fight, and then the winner of that fight, you know, is right there. I mean, that's really all. The winner of that fight. Yeah. I don't want to see Holm in another title fight, but I think if Tate were to beat Holly Holm at 6, I think that they would look at the rankings, and I think they could easily get her another title fight, November-ish, maybe on the undercard of the Jon Jones fight, you know, for second fight of the year, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, in New York, especially if it's Pennington too. I know that their first fight went down there, and it was Tate's retirement fight. So, my God, you talk about a story about how about coming back to win the title in the same arena that you retired in like 4 years earlier, 5 years earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, there is some story to that. So, shoot, it'd be like 6-7 years earlier at this point now. So, I don't know. I think it's going to be a fun year in the UFC. I know that we have, they have a lot of ups and downs, and there's a lot of chaos. But when it's all said and done, usually we do get a grip of good fights.
Yeah, and then they got their antitrust lawsuit in April, so that should be fun to watch.
I could stir it up too. I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen in the next 365 days. Well, 300, what, there's leap year, so we got about 363 left this year.
Yeah. Should be fun, man.
I think
2024, just for the sport overall. I mean, I know we just spent the last chunk of time talking about the UFC, and they do dominate the sport, but I think we are at a time in the sport where, say, PFL plays their cards right and fucking wakes up and smells the coffee. Especially they have more outside like fight people in their organization now, like the folks that they brought over from Bellator, they do have a really good chance to stir up the landscape of the sport, especially at least in North America, if not globally, to kind of make mixed martial arts be what we kind of always wanted to be. How it makes me think about that CM Punk quote about WWE fans and pro wrestling fans. I mean, we have that with MMA right now. There's UFC fans and there's MMA fans, and I think we're going to see more UFC fans become MMA fans in 2024 if the shakeup that could possibly happen happens. And I more than anything welcome it. As long as the fighters have more opportunities to get out there, chase their dreams and glory and make some money while they're doing it, you know, I think 2024 is going to be a good year for combat sports.
I hope so. We'll end this episode off that fans can check out the show at Combat Hour on Twitter, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow me, Matthew Hawkins, at MMA Hawk 21 on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Ed at Carbazol on Twitter, Carbeerzol on Instagram, and Old Head Carb on Twitch. Thank you for listening, everybody. Look forward to the next year with you all. Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Peace.